The Badgers have momentum. Another loaded group of official visitors is heading to Madison, and the recruiting buzz isn't slowing down. Tonight, we're breaking down weekend two, the names you need to know and which recruits could be the next to jump on board. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together for a midweek special episode to talk about official visit weekend two coming up. A good official visit weekend one. We've got some solid recruits coming out of that. Most notably, recently, Makai Williams has committed to the class. We've got six more guys coming in this weekend, six guys coming in this weekend. We're going to talk about all of them. We're going to talk about what we like, what we don't like, who's important, and kind of maybe what potentially who we think might still have where there's room in this class for some of these guys. There are some of our favorite guys. I think both Justin and I's favorite person is coming this weekend. So we're going to talk about that and kind of give you a sense of who's going to be there, what names you should really be watching out for, and who we really could close on this week. Makai Williams, Justin, we obviously were on Locked On Badgers. Give me a quick, overall, how excited are you about that pickup?
I'm super excited about him because I think there's a ton of upside that's still untapped with him, especially him being a younger guy. Like, he's going to come here as a 17-year-old. He doesn't turn 17 until this summer. So he's a kid that's going to come in really young with a lot of physical upside and a lot of untapped, maturation with his body. And you already have this massive frame with him. And listen, the thing that I like about him most is the fact you look at him as a 6'2" kid. It's not normal for a kid that has that size to pop their hips the way he does. He does a really good job of being able to turn and run. That is something that a lot of guys his size can't do. And that's where I think that you have a lot of upside with him potentially playing corner.
Yeah. I think it's just such a big win for Luke Fickell. You know, I mean, it's one more step in the process of just being a dominant recruiter, and this recruiting department is doing so well. Taking a guy away from Florida State is a really big deal. The 10th ranked player in Florida to get that. I mean, when he's got an LSU hat sitting on the table, that's tough to do, man. That is really a good win. And it just proves that our coaches, man, are kind of on a different level when it comes to recruiting. Like, our coaches have done a fantastic job.
By the way, best part about that, bar none, watching him just flip the Nebraska hat off the table. We're not looking at them. What the hell?
I was totally freaked out when he put the LSU hat on. I was like, oh my gosh. And then it was nothing. But honestly, the flipping the Nebraska hat, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly the mentality that people need to have at Minnesota. Just flip them off the table. Get out of there. Get out of there. All right, Justin, weekend two, I'm going to go through the names first and break down their positions. Then we're going to go through some film on four of the guys, which we've shown us some of this film before. We're going to talk a little bit more about why we like them and where we kind of how we feel like they'll fit in this class. It's not going to be a full hour show or anything like that. Yeah. If you are watching this live, my Golden Knights are about to go to overtime. So let's go Knights to potentially win game two of the Stanley Cup Finals. Okay. We're going to start here from – I'm going to start with the lowest ranked player on 247, work my way up as we talk through these. Why this guy's the lowest rated player on 247 in this group is bananas. Yazin Zion from Goodyear, Arizona. Yep, another Arizona kid.
He's the lowest?
Lineman.
That's shocking.
What?
That is shocking. He's the lowest. Yeah. I'm surprised by that.
He's the lowest for this weekend. 6'4", 265 defensive lineman out of Goodyear, Arizona. We're going to watch his film. Steele Harris, who we've talked about before. 6'3", 190-pound wide receiver out of Great Falls, Montana. James Roberson, a 6 foot 195 safety out of Allen, Texas. Brody Fannin-Steele, that's Justin's top guy, a 6'4", 225-pound lineman, defensive lineman, or edge, really, out of Hoisington, Kansas. Elijah Shaw, 6'8", 275-pound offensive tackle from Leawood, Kansas. And these are the two. And then Chuck Alexander, a 6'1½, 188-pound wide receiver out of Cincinnati, Ohio, who is showing, by the way, on 247 that he's committed to Louisville, but that was back in November.
I think he's actually taller than that, too. I actually think he's 6'3".
Okay. So I
think they might be a little off on that.
It's unlikely. It just seems odd that they would like be underestimating it online, right? They're usually pretty good about that, but who knows? Okay. So let's start though with, again, we'll start, can I start back with Yazin Zion? Yeah. For lowest rated for whatever reason. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Incompetence.
And you're gonna see why when I show you his film.
So he's a four-star. Like, it's ridiculous that he's not.
I mean, yeah, it's to me, it's like really not even close. All
right. Listen, so he moves the way that you would have hoped that Daryl Peterson would have moved when we had him at 265. Like the burst and bend and ability to just obliterate people coming off the edge. This kid has great movement ability at that size, and he's very violent in the way that he finishes. Mm-hmm. That's the thing between him and Fantasteel that they both have. They just bury guys when they get around the edge. And they throw their bodies around.
He plays with his hair on fire. Like, he literally plays with his hair on fire constantly. And that motor, that high motor, I mean, obviously, look, a lot of these guys can do that. But this isn't something that's taught. This is just the way this guy plays. Like, you can watch him come off the edge like that. And he's just so dominant. Now, look, I mean, you never know about the competition they're playing, but when you see a guy that's a man among boys right now, the quick twitchiness off the line, very good with his hands, very quick movements with his feet, like he's got, and he also reads the play really well too. You can see on this film, like he understands what's happening. He knows when to shuck off a block, right? When to get in the backfield, when to spin out. Like, he reads the play really well, but he's just so dominant. Mm-hmm. And the thing, again, we've said this before, Justin, the versatility. Like, you can absolutely see a situation where he is a little heavier and he can play as a defensive end in a four down lineman and in a run stopping situation. Like, he is that big of a guy, but obviously that his pass rush is just the moves and the quickness that he uses is rather elite.
I love that gator roll that he does. He tends to do with his finishing too, because the reality is if he ends up getting up to 280 and he's grabbing on the back of a running back, he's taking them right off their feet and they're going to end up on the ground, because at that weight and that type of like velocity that he's coming at guys, he's just going to flat out just rip them off their feet. And it's been a bit since we've had a guy that moves like this. Like, mm-hmm. Who have we had that moves this well that potentially could be on the edge? Like, I can't
think of
anybody that was a defensive lineman.
For sure. And you'll see him line up like we're just showing a clip now if you're watching on YouTube. He lined up at the tackle position too. Like, he has that versatility. And yeah, he is so fast. And you know what? Like, I don't know what his 40 time is, but I'm telling you this, like, he plays very quick for his
position. Yeah, his 10-yard speed is probably really good.
Correct. Like, I bet his shuttle speed is really good. He's got very, very quick feet and he can move quickly, but he moves intentionally. It's not just like, okay, I'm fast, but I don't know really what I'm doing here. Like, he looks like a trained pass rusher. And to me, of all the official visitors that we're getting last week, this week, like, Yazin Zion is the guy that has been my number one guy so far in the official visit season. And I feel like you could see why, man. The dude is like, absolutely. He's electric. He's totally electric.
Listen, he may or may not end up getting bumped to a four-star, but to me, watching him play, he looks like a guy that, like, you could just see the level of physical ability to him compared to everyone else that's on the field. It's just a man amongst boys. And there's every once in a while you see guys like this. You and I talked about this offline a little bit before we, you know, did any of our shows, where I said, this guy's a ceiling raiser for the class. Like, I look at him and I see a guy that I'm like, he can end up turning into a star. But at minimum, I think he ends up turning into a really solid player for you. So it's like, if that's where you're looking at, where you're getting a guy who's in your rotation, or you get a guy who potentially just turns into a stud for you, like, that, you'll take that every time.
And he's already 265 pounds. Boy, he moves really well for 265 pounds.
And they're going to reshape him. It's going to be like Jalen Williams, where he was around that weight, and you rebuild that guy.
Do you feel like, what do you feel like his ideal playing weight is, if he's really going to just be a straight up down lineman, like a defensive end? I mean,
I would probably get him to like 275, 280, I think is perfect for him. If it's a really like strong fit 280, I think you can move that guy inside on pass rush downs with his explosiveness and get away with it. He's not so light that he's not going to be able to handle a center or get a double team in a pass rush situation. But I don't think you want him heavier than that, because I think at that point you're going to start to lose some of his burst.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, like, it's really clear that you know, you can play along the line, right? You just said inside pass rushing downs, third and long, you line him up at the tackle position. He's going to get by some of these guards, right? He's not going to be easy to play against. So it's fantastic.
Doc taunting you.
How the hell are you doing a show 3-3 for sure? Let me tell you something, Doc. I'll tell you why. Because my buddy Justin here likes to go to bed. And I know if I'd have told him, look, man, I got to wait till after overtime, he wasn't going to fly. I was like, all right.
So I would have made it.
I know.
Tomorrow's Friday.
I was like, let me start. And in my little like makeshift office, I'm not in my regular office these days, but I will be moving back there soon. I've got a great TV right up here so I can easily see what's going on. And I will be reacting heavily to the fact that the Knights hopefully win.
And at some point here, Doc and I need to have a debate over Chris Sanchez versus Jacob Mizorowski.
You know the Brewers are playing in Vegas, by the way, like in the next this week. They're playing the A's in Vegas. Not know that. They're playing 10 minutes away from my house. It's a minor league ballpark. It's a great ballpark. And the new A stadium is under construction, by the way. So that's really cool. Okay, so let's move on to our next recruit that we're going to talk about. Our next, so Steele Harris, he's 88 in 247, a composite 3-star wide receiver out of Great Falls, Montana. I'm going to put up his film as well. This is a guy, Justin, that we talked about. We talked about this when we did our wide receiver show not too long ago, and we kind of touched on Steele Harris. Tell me what your thoughts are on Steele.
Yeah, I really like him. He's a big body. He moves really well. He's athletic. He's not a burner. I know I've seen somebody out there. Somebody threw something at me saying he was a 4.46 guy, and I'm like, he does not move like a 4.46 guy. Like we know what that type of speed looks like on the field, and it's a guy with absolute jets. That doesn't matter. Like his skill set is he's a really athletic big guy who has the ability to just box people out from the ball. And he's fast enough where it doesn't matter. Like, I think he'll get over the top occasionally and just have the ability to out-athlete the guy that's across from him. We don't get guys that move like this is – he's not the same size as a guy like Petit last year. He's a little smaller than that. But there's some similarities in terms of the athletic ability. And you look at it and you're like, God, he just moves really well for a big kid. It's hard to find those guys. Normally they don't have – great speed when you get them. And I thought Petit had pretty good speed last year. And I think Steele Harris has good enough speed this year for sure that he can be able to do everything that you want him to at the receiver position.
Yeah. Fluid movement. You've actually mentioned it and you can see that on film right now. Boy, he is a shifty kind of a guy, right? He can get out of tackles. He really plays that 6'3". Oh Mike, are you kidding me? Penalty. it's not over yet. He has that body frame of 6'3". He plays it well. Right? He uses that 6'3" frame really well. Adjusts really well to the ball in the air. I feel like he's a good route runner. I've not seen anything insane with route running on film, but I think he's doing what he needs to do. It's a nice route that he ran right there. A little shift kind of outcut. He does what he needs to do, but he adjusts really well to the ball and he makes plays. One thing that I always look for this kind of thing, like is a guy going to make a play for his quarterback? Is he going to find those soft areas of the zone and run that crisp enough route to get himself open? He can do that. He's creating separation through using his sort of the mental side of the game to create that vision. And he does it really well. And then when he catches the ball, he's a load to bring down.
Absolutely. Yeah, he looks like a guy who's going to be just a beast once he gets in a strength and conditioning program in college. Like I'm sure, he's in Montana right now. That's going to be the biggest change for him, because regardless of how good he is for Montana in terms of the strength conditioning there, it's a different world when you get to a college strength conditioning program. And especially for a wide receiver where they're really going to start to work with him on speed stuff. And they're really going to work on getting his explosiveness and strength up in regards to just physicality. He's a significantly better version of Chris Brooks. If you were to say somebody who's on the Badger roster right now, he's a little bit bigger, he's shiftier, he's a better athlete in my opinion, but that's the guy you'd probably comp him to on the roster. But I look at him more like I said, I've comped him to James Jones. I think he's actually a little bigger than Jones was, and Rajiv apparently just lost.
The Knights have lost game two of the Stanley Cup Finals in overtime. Absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. Turning the TV off now.
Good focus. All right. But yeah, I like this kid. I think he's something that we don't get very often at Wisconsin. And it really seems like this cycle, they seem to be going after size at the receiver position. If, you know, Jai Jones is legitimately a 6'2 guy, he's the smallest receiver that they potentially could get.
Which is crazy.
So, yes.
So we obviously have Jai Jones. We've talked about him. He's in the class. Steele Harris is coming. Chuck Alexander's coming. You feel like we need two more receivers to be content here? One more in this class?
I think with the guys that they have coming in this weekend, I think that they like them both and probably would take them. I think they want at least one for sure. And I think they feel really good about Steele. But I think in some ways, I think Alexander's a little bit different. I think he actually is a little more polished as a receiver in some ways. I think Steele's the better athlete.
I'll tell you, I think Steele's pretty polished as a wide receiver too. I wouldn't undersell his receiver.
No, I'm not. I think that he's pretty darn good, but I just think the other guy has some of the things that he's asked to do are a little bit more, you know, things you want to see on film.
Fair enough. But either way, a guy that you know, a lot of people were really, really excited about. Now there was Channon Harris was also going to be here. He's since canceled his visit. Did he commit to where did he commit last week? Did he commit somewhere?
Who?
Channon Harris. The other Harris.
He is not visiting. He is expected to likely, I believe, go to Syracuse.
Syracuse. That's right. I knew there. I just don't know. Pulled really up well. Here. Syracuse. David, because he was there last weekend.
David Johnette. If he gets the Conkey, I'll be shocked if Conkey makes a visit here. I'll just be honest. You're not, and number one, you wouldn't be taking both guys this weekend and then Conkey. It would be, we're taking one guy this weekend and then we'll bring in a speed guy. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I know Conkey was tied pretty closely to Illinois. We'll see what happens there. He's an intriguing guy to me. He's super fast. Yeah, I think he ran a 10.25/100, which is insane for a high school kid to be running that type of speed. But yeah, Harris committed to Syracuse. So I think we would be happy with if we go big this cycle. I think you got two speed guys last cycle in Legree and Thibodeau. I think you're content with that probably, but you probably have to get a speed guy next cycle. Like you've got to get somebody that's going to be a top end guy, because I don't think that Jai Jones necessarily profiles as that. He's more of, to me, he's a little bit more of a Vinny guy, where I think he's going to have some speed to get over the top, but I don't think he's going to be a guy that you're just going to send on fly routes consistently trying to let him just blow by somebody. He's going to be more of a tactician.
The other wide receiver that's coming is Chuck Alexander, 6'1½", 188-pounder. I'm out of Cincinnati, Ohio. So, Justin, you like this guy.
Yeah, I think he's got a really big frame. He does a good job of creating separation with his body. He does some just things naturally that I'm a big fan of with him, that seems to understand the way he, you know, to find space. Does a good job of going up and getting the ball. I really think that he'd be a nice pair, you know, with this group. And I like big wide receivers, because I think the one thing that you get with big wide receivers is that if they can't get over the top or blow by somebody, what they do have is the ability to box somebody out and still make a play. And you can't do that with small guys. And Wisconsin's had some of those issues. It was one of the things I hated about the Paul Chris wide receiver recruiting. Everyone was 6 foot, 180 pounds. And it's like, this guy doesn't really do anything in the way that you'd want them to. Even the speed guys that we had weren't necessarily guys that were big enough to like get off a press. So unless they got a clean release, they were kind of in trouble. You need to find some guys who are capable of just bullying people. And I feel like Alexander is one of those. I feel like Steele Harris is one of those, where you're going to put a 6 foot corner, like at a max, probably they might have like a 5'10" guy on him, and he's going to beat that kid up all game long, because that kid's going to try getting physical with him, and he's probably going to have 25 pounds on him.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that he's already 190 pounds is pretty solid.
He's going to play at 205, 215.
Yeah. Here. Yeah, he's going to be that big, like that, you know, sort of that big boundary guy. So he's a composite 4-star, actually. He's rated higher than Steel Harris. Truthfully, I like Steel Harris' film a little bit better. I got nothing bad to say about Chuck Alexander. I think he's got good-looking film. I happen to like some of the receiver attributes from Steel Harris. But let me tell you something. Perfectly happy getting both. Perfectly happy getting both.
So him and Steel Harris, and one of the things that I mentioned when I watched some of the clips from spring, and one of the things I didn't love about Malachi Coleman, who I think is an incredible natural athlete, but you watch the way these guys move in their routes and how tight they stay with their body and their arm movement that helps them create, like, to be able to cut and move quickly, mm-hmm. is one of the reasons why I feel much more confident in them being productive than what we've seen from Coleman, who I think, despite being a guy who can absolutely fly up the field, I think struggles to actually maneuver side to side and lack some of the lateral quickness and ability to turn on a dime for his size. That makes it difficult for him to do anything other than really run deep routes for the most part, because I think guys can kind of, like, he's not quick into his cuts, and I think that that hurts him when people need to make up ground.
What I like about receivers that have size, we don't talk about this a lot because we don't see it on film, blocking, right? Now, Listen, I don't know if he's a good blocker, But you need to be able to block as a receiver at Wisconsin, because you know that Jeff Grimes wants to run the ball. You know Wisconsin's going to run the ball. So it's important. But I like the fact that if he's going to play at 200, 205, 210, you would like to think that he's got the ability to really be a decent blocker, which is an underrated attribute, and we don't really talk about it just because no one puts it on film at the receiver position, right? But it's important.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and, like, you'd rather have guys that have the physical capability to do it, and there's zero reason why him and Steel Harris can't do that at a high level. They're going to physically be the bigger player between the guy they're blocking every single time, unless they get tasked with cracking down on a linebacker or something, which in this offense, it definitely could happen. But you feel a lot better about it having a receiver who might be 210, 215 coming down and cracking a guy in the corner than you do having a guy who's 190.
Aiden Marr, from going to high school in Montana, I really hope we get Steel Harris. I played in the same division as his school, and there are multiple guys currently in the NFL from the division. He'll be good. I mean, listen, he looks like he's going to be really good. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Zach Bartz, Jones, Steel Harris, and flipping Alexander would be a great wide receiver class, in my opinion. Absolutely. If those three are our wide receivers, we're in a fine spot in this class.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And I think you would like this. Like, if you honestly look at it, it's becoming pretty clear that Grimes likes big receivers. I don't know if you've noticed it, but that wide receiver room got a lot taller in this offseason. Yeah.
And in order to compete with the corners that these other Big Ten schools put out there, we got to have it. Like, again, it's like that versatility. They are very much typecasting what they want. They know exactly what kind of players they want. They're form fitting them into their system. It's like, let's go get guys that fit our system well. And that's the versatility on whether it's the O-line or the D-line, the ability to be a tall, big wide receiver who can block theoretically. They're doing a really good job of profiling the players that they want and getting those profiles, which I think is super important. Yeah. And a lot of coaches don't do that well.
One of the other positives of this, I don't know if you paid too much attention to it or not, both of these guys spend time in the slot too, and have some ability. Like, I like the fact that they are guys who you potentially can move into that area and kind of use to go over the middle and make plays, because they have the size to do it. And having big guys like that that aren't afraid to go over the middle, to me, that's a huge plus.
Yeah. The last film that we'll show, well, let's hold on this one, because I know we're going to save this one for last. We have two other guys that we're going to quickly just touch on. Elijah Shaw is an offensive tackle out of Leawood, Kansas, 6'8", 275. This guy is very tall. And I mean, he's 6'8". He looks like he could even be 6'9". Yeah. Moves very, very well. I don't have his film pulled up, but he moves really well. Not a ton of, like, amazing film, but he has got the physical frame that if you can see him getting up to 315, 320, he looks like he could be physically, he could be a great offensive tackle. He has good film out there for sure, but it's nothing like, you know, like Kevin Haywood's film, for example, right?
Yeah.
But like, he has the body to be a great offensive tackle.
Yeah. I think the big thing you would say is with Royski and Haywood, they both had the ability, like, they were both maulers already in high school. I think you look at Elijah Shaw and you're like, the athleticism is there and he's physical, but he's not like those guys where he's just blowing people up. That's the number one area where you're like, he's going to put 30 pounds of muscle on and he's going to be suddenly so much better. But you can't teach the feet at his height. Like, he's a guy who's going to be really hard to get around at the edge. Similar frame probably to Roiski is probably the guy I would probably say from a physicality standpoint. But Roiski came in here looking like he was, you know, Conan. Like, the guy was just massive and muscular already by the time he looked like he was 35 by the time he came in as a freshman. And that is not where Shaw is right now. Like, he's got some work to do from that in that regard.
And Roiski came in looking like that, and he still really hasn't seen time. He will soon. Do you get concerned about Shaw's ability to, if he does come here, to be able to contribute by the time he's a junior, potentially?
No, I think that's fine. Like, realistically, with offensive linemen, even really skilled and talented ones, they should not be counted on to be seeing the field until their redshirt sophomore year, unless they're just a freak of nature. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, that is the development cycle that I'm sure most offensive line coaches would tell you is like, we need you to be at a level where we can rely on you to play quality snaps for us consistently by the time you're at that age. Because by that point, we know your body's where it should be. And mentally, you should completely inside and out understand our system. Now, you get a guy who's a redshirt freshman who maybe has the body there, but doesn't have the mind there because he hasn't had the reps or the technique quite where it needs to be. That's typically where the issues are, is they're just not quite as refined as the guys that are up there, unless they're just studs. And every once in a while you find a guy like that that can make it work. Like, we've seen guys that come in and start as a true freshman or a redshirt freshman, and you're like, this is a really impressive guy. But it doesn't happen that often.
Let's watch a film from James Roberson. He's a 6 foot, 195 pound safety. Out of Allen, Texas. I'm going to pull this up here.
Yeah, I think this is the guy who they'd like to close out their safety recruiting. There's a couple of other guys that potentially are visiting, but I think they would probably like to lock this down by the end of, you know, this cycle. If that happens, there's a realistic chance that after this weekend, this class is pretty much done. Like, they may grab a couple of guys late if they see some late bloomers that they're really high on, but I don't think there's guys they're waiting on yet. Graham, who came this last weekend as an edge, is a guy who they're waiting on, and we'll see what happens with Fannin Steele and Zion because of that. I personally think they should take them all. I think in the portal era, you have no idea who's going to stay and who's going to go. You want as many body. Like, you can't play the numbers game anymore. It's just the way that college football is now. If you start worrying about it, you're going to get burned by the portal, because you'll end up having a year where five guys that you didn't expect to leave left, and now you have to make up for that in the portal, and you probably could have had two guys that you really liked from the high school ranks, you know, kind of percolating their way up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Roberson's film, right? He's a quick guy. He turns his hips really well, adjusts the ball well in the air, and he reads the play really well. Good violent tackler, downhill, and is very aggressive on the ball. Obviously, as a lot of these guys that are defensive backs, unless they have these insane, you know, body builds and frames, like, they're development type players, and I think James Roberson fits into that thing. But I agree completely. Like, let's fill it out. We've done really well with defensive backs so far. If we can finish that off, I think that would be that'd be really strong. So hopefully he's one that we close on.
He seems really gritty to me. Like, you see the way he was, like, that guy was trying to whip him off there on that last highlight you're showing, where he's going to hang on and just be like, I'm going to make this play. And maybe he's not physically there quite yet, but you're like, you could see a realm where this guy plays really aggressive. He's really instinctual. I think he moves pretty well. That you could probably get away with. I think realistically Wisconsin wants to get to the point where they're playing two versatile safeties, and they can shift around, and just either guy can do both things. They can play in the box or they can drop deep. And I think that's Roberson kind of fits that, where he looks like he's a guy who could probably drop deep and play some center field, but also has the ability to come up in the box and isn't afraid to tackle and stick his nose in the fan.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of defense, you mentioned him earlier, David Jahonette says, Graham received a prediction earlier today to commit by Alan Trillo. Yes, he did. And we have not heard anything on Darren Graham yet, but 6'5", 218-pound edge out of Chicago, Illinois. We covered him on a last week, 2 weeks ago show. But yeah, that would be great. And like I said, like we talked about this all the time, just get more bodies in. There's no reason not to. But the other guy that we want to talk about on the defensive line, this would be Mr. Julka's favorite guy in this class. I'm a big Zion guy, and you are too, to be fair. Yeah. You've obviously said that as well. And you know what, man? Jeez, I closed out his film.
How dare you?
I closed out his film, and I have to go back and look at it. But in the before that, but while I'm pulling up his film, because it won't take me long, tell everyone what you like about Brody Fannin Steele.
Yeah, he's really athletic. He's a guy who plays with a ton of violence and really plays aggressively. I love this kid's film. Listen, he's not playing at the highest level of high school football, but when you watch him and how aggressively he plays, it's like this will play even if you bumped him up. Like he's you could tell that he's strong as an ox, but the way he attacks guys and just rifles through them and blows them up, it's like he's got some of the most impressive hitting that I've seen this cycle. And yeah, you watch this, just the way he just goes through people and just chucks them out of the way. There, Jones had a little bit of this, but I feel like this is even a step further than that, than Nathan Jones, where it's like, yeah, this dude's just going to absolutely kill people. Like I comped him to Reiger a little bit. I actually think that he's got a little more burst than Reiger did in terms of the pass rush aspect of it.
He also plays much bigger. He's a much like stockier build than Reiger.
Yeah, I think he's going to easily be 250. Like by the time you get real weight on him, I wouldn't be shocked if you got him to 260. I think he's going to be a big edge, and I think he's going to be a pass rush edge where you put him out there and you really like the – I mean, his motor is incredible. Both him and Zion, that's the one thing you look at. You're like, you want more of these guys, not less, on your team. You want guys that are going to consistently be just constantly coming at the offense, because if they do, the offense is eventually going to hopefully cave when you have guys
like – Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you, I don't know what there is not to like about this guy's film. He's an absolute machine. I think him and Zion could be the two best players that come out of this class theoretically. Mm-hmm. I mean, not quite that, because I think there's a lot of guys up there. But, I mean, again, this is a guy that could absolutely be a four-star. Right now he's at 87 on 247. He did, by the way, commit to Texas Tech. His offer list is incredible. And, yeah, like Brody Fannin Steele is an absolute dude. And I do think there's a really good chance we can get this guy. I don't know if it's going to happen yet. But I tell you, like, the profiling, the versatility on the line, he can absolutely play in multiple positions. He doesn't have to just be an outside guy. He can definitely get bigger. Kind of like Zion will play a little more inside because Zion is much bigger. But this guy is an absolute monster. And you talk about coming in, being a mauler, being a guy that's ready to play, having that way. I said it with a guy like Nathan Jones. He's a football player. He's just a football player. That's what this guy does. He moves incredibly well, uses his hands really well. And man, does he have a quick first step. Like he is, you as an offensive lineman, you have to be prepared to stop this guy.
Otherwise, and he counters. Like if he's kind of blocked off one way, he has no problem. Like he's so aggressive that he just like continues to come. Like he'll cut out. If he gets blocked off that way, he just either will spin or will just kind of sidestep and go around. And there's multiple times here where you see they have a running back that's kind of pinned in there trying to set up and block on him too, and he just goes right around him. Like he just steps past them like, all right, whatever, get out of my way, and then blows up the quarterback.
I think the Reiger, you know, comparison is interesting. I think he does move a lot like Reiger, and he does have that motor that Reiger has, which is actually pretty special.
We got another guy like that in that room. Like you cannot get enough of these guys that have this, like that are high motor guys, because I feel like it translates over to everybody else. Like they set the tone that everyone else has to follow through with. And if you're a player that's like, why is that guy playing over me? The coaches can flat out just point to you and be like, look at how hard he plays every single play. Like when you start doing that, that's when I'm going to start giving you more reps. That's something that translates, that's visual to other players that they can see. And they're like, okay, I know what I need to do to get out on the field. And plus there's also the guys that will hold you accountable.
So of this group, Fannin Steele is certainly the one you want the most.
Yeah, I think it's really close between him and Zion. Like, I think both of them are guys you need. As I've said before, I think those are two guys that potentially could be stars in this class. It would not shock me at all to have them turn into really, really high level Big Ten players. So I would love to get both of them if we can figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. And listen, weekend one was really successful. Weekend two, this coaching staff has proven time and time again, they're good closers. They get shit done. They just do. Like, that's what this class does. That's this coaching staff does. And you've been seeing really, really good recruits popping here. The class right now is up to 15th in the country, I believe. If I'm mistaken, I lost my page. Yeah, 16th in the country right now, which is good considering that we only have 17 guys and you're already at 16. That's really good. And we're probably going to get to 21, 22 potentially. But I agree. Let's get more wide receivers. Let's get the edge players. Like, let's not. There's no reason not to load up. And as you mentioned, the transfer portal is certainly there. We will be back on Sunday. Justin will definitely be back. I may or may not. I'm traveling to see my niece graduate from high school, so I may or may not be able to do the show. But Nick Osen's going to be back on Sunday to break down weekend two. Hopefully have a couple commits from weekend two. Brandon Steele, Zion, Harris, who knows, to talk about coming up this weekend. Justin, any last thoughts on this preview week of weekend two before we head out?
We did an incredible job with weekend one. I think most people probably who were covering the team would have thought that we have gotten two and a half, maybe three guys out of it. Here we have a pretty darn good chance at getting five of the six, it sounds like. And now I feel like, you know, this is one of those things. If we'll see how the weather plays out, it's going to be really nice and warm in Madison, regardless of which. But hopefully some of the rain holds off and you can get them out on the lake and do some things with them. But if that's the case, I feel really good about Wisconsin's chances to kind of surprise people with some of these guys they pick up.
And you can't really underestimate the impact of a guy like Mekhi Williams coming here too, because it sets the tone for these classes. And I mentioned this on our show after you had to leave the other day on Locked On. It's like that other players see what Fickell and his staff are doing right now. When Mekhi Williams flips from Florida State to Wisconsin, you begin to kind of get a sense of what's happening there. And that vision is being sold, right? That culture of a program that's frankly had two pretty bad years to come out and get these guys. And with the talent that they've assembled through the transfer portal, it's exciting other recruits. And again, these guys are, they're high school kids, right? They want to sort of follow like the vibes and everything where people are going. And I just think it matters. And, you know, like they've done so well that a high school recruit that's deciding between Wisconsin and another program and another fit, another culture, that culture is really being sold well. And you really can't underestimate that, which is exciting.
Well, and the other part of this is there's likely going to be a ton of the in-state guys returning again this weekend.
Correct.
If that's the case, I mean, that's going to help sell too. Like, you have guys that are legitimately showing up here, not on their official visits, because they want to be a part of this culture. They want to help get these other guys to come and build this team up. So it's really impressive to have people that are that bought in to come back on a weekend when they don't have to and show up and be a part of this.
Right, right. If you are still watching us, hit that like button. Super helpful to the show. Thank you so much. If you're not subscribed to the show, do that as well. We're going to be back doing more OV stuff. Of course, summer beginning. As soon as OV season's done, it's full on football preview season. We are going full steam ahead under 100 days until Wisconsin kicks off in Lambeau Field, where Justin and I will be going to that game and hopefully seeing Wisconsin shock the world and beating very highly ranked and very good Notre Dame. If you just joined the show, you can rewind and go check out a film from Brody Fannisteel, Yazin Zion, Chuck Alexander, and a couple more people that are coming to Madison this weekend. We'll be back for Sunday, our regular show on Sunday, to break down OV weekend number two. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.